It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 1065. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done?
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Alabama Piping Supply, and Ed Seafood Shed.
But, fabulous seafood.
Oh, yeah. Good
vittles.
Good vittles over there, for sure.
But, as Pete would say, get your butt to Ed's.
I know we had a little cold weather last night and this morning. It wasn't too bad, though. It wasn't as bad as...
I was wondering if you saw any battery problems and stuff like that that we've been talking about.
We had several come in this morning from with battery issues. Had a few heater issues this morning. Which is nothing unusual. We get a cold snap, and there's going to be... There's going to be some heaters, and believe it or not, there was a couple cars in there with air conditioner problems this morning. Why you care? But you got to understand, it's Mobile, Alabama, and today or tomorrow it's going to be air conditioner again.
Oh my lord! So the heater must have been working good.
Heater no problem. Just couldn't get the air to work. So, which wasn't a real problem this morning, but
Well, let me ask you a question. What heater problems? And most of these cars undoubtedly are going to be warranties or cars that's maybe out of warranty for after a while. Okay, bringing them back to the dealership. Yeah. What the heck could be wrong with the heaters?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of things can cause heater problems. Of course, you have your electronic controls with the actuators that control the heater doors and that kind of thing.
Right.
But our what we see most of is low coolant causing it.
I was wondering, I was just wondering if it was getting any low coolant problems.
Yeah, I mean, not extreme, but, one of the first indicators of having low coolant in your car is that that your heater quits working because it's usually the higher component in the car. So when it gets an air pocket, that's where it's going to.
Okay.
So you just don't get the flow through the heater core like you should.
Right. Okay. That's still back in the old days. I can relate to that.
Yeah. I mean, it still kind of rings true. That and the fact that we'll have people all the time, it sounds like I got water sloshing around in my dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is the air bubbles running through the heater core, and it's right there in the dash. So it sounds like you got, 5 gallons of water sloshing back and forth across the front of your car.
When you get low on fluids like that, don't you start having problems with your temperature control mechanisms and the fact that an air pocket will cause steam and then the mercury that's in the sending units will not work properly?
We have seen some issues with the gauges not reading properly. But as far as our, the controls, not too bad. But, because we're using all... we're using inside temperature sensors that are not actually in the coolant.
Okay.
It's sensing what kind of temperature the unit's putting out.
That has to do with the temperature on the air conditioner and the heater, though.
Right. And that's all for outlet vent temperatures and that kind of stuff, for your automatic air control systems.
What crossed my mind was the fact that I was talking to a lady the other day, and she says, the reason I was late for my appointment with you is that I burnt my motor up. I said, what?
Hmm.
Said, yeah. I said, it's matter of fact, I called you about it. I think she probably blew the head gasket on it, a little full cylinder car. And because it got low on fluid, on coolant.
Right.
So she says, well, none of the lights ever came on the dash.
Right.
Well, is that true or not true?
Probably not true. I mean, anything can happen. I learned a long time ago, never say never. Now we have, especially on our smaller cars, we have a code that sets, and then we'll turn the check engine light on for a low flow for the coolant.
Okay.
And
so they are checking the fluids now.
Right. they're monitoring what's going on. They're doing everything they can to keep things going right. And that's one of the that's another good point for why you need to fix whatever is wrong with your car, keeping the check engine light on, because it's not going to come on brighter, or it's not going to say, "Hey, look at me again."
I can relate to that. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, "Well, has your check engine light come on yet?" "Oh, well, it's been on a year and a half."
Right.
And I said, "Well, it's there's going to be so many codes in there with that going on that you're not going to get the proper code there." I said, "You're going to have to get with your tech."
Right.
And he's going to have to put it on a machine, probably clear that, go road test it again and see what kind of codes come back in it.
Right. And we have
to
do that.
Is that the way you do that?
A lot of times we do. You know, of course, I'll usually take and capture the codes that are in there so I don't lose anything or any kind of freeze frame data or failure records, attached to them. And, if I don't see something that's obvious, with those, I'm going to, clear everything, go drive it, and see what resets. Because, you can have one issue, and that one issue set multiple codes, for other things. So you have to play detective on a lot of that,
So if our check engine light comes on today, then within the next few days, we need to be getting it checked, because what's going to happen as it progresses, then it's going to cause other items to not get the right readings, not give the right parameters of voltage and what have you. So then we're going to get a whole bunch of other codes.
Right. Well, you can get into a situation. I'm just trying to think of one that would be a good example of, say, you got a lean code. Just a basic something we see all the time. All right, well, it could be because you're having a fuel flow issue. It could be because you have a air leak in the intake system somewhere. You could have a crankcase ventilation system issue. And it can also be you may have hit something and the intercooler for your turbo be leaking. We have one today that the intercooler had taken a lick, and it was causing some lean and some underboost codes because there's damage to the intercooler.
Darn, okay.
And I've seen that a few times. They've got to put that intercooler kind of out there in harm's way so it gets good clean air to it.
It's got to get to the air.
It's got to have good clean air to it. You can't screen it, nothing like that, because it just cuts down the airflow too much. So it is kind of in harm's way. And most of them are somewhere down low, so those little parking curbs you pull up to.
Are they usually underneath the radiator in that area, or are they on the sides of that?
Most of these are under the radiator, either in front of or under. And it's kind of a stack deal where the radiator's on top of the intercooler. Most of our little cars, the intercooler bottom and radiator top.
Are they making these intercoolers like in a rectangular shape or a big radiator shape?
No, most of them are a rectangular shape block. It's say 6 inch by 6 inch by 28 inches long.
It's something like we used to use for some of the exotic oil coolers.
Right, right.
That we had on the race cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's that way you're not passing the hot air from it through your AC condenser or your radiator.
Okay, trying to get it away from all of it.
Right. Yeah, we generate a lot of heat, and when you're trying to get rid of some of that heat, it doesn't help to pass it the hot air from it over something else that you're trying to cool.
Well, because it's just what it says. It's an intercooler. It cools the air.
Right.
Going into the turbo, which gives it more pressure makes it work a lot better, I guess.
Exactly. So, it's just a snowball effect. You get I see people chasing MAP sensor codes, which is the manifold absolute pressure code.
I thought that was what you checked your MAP with.
No. That's nothing about reading maps or anything. Your way home.
MAP sensor, that's when you get your MAP out.
Yeah. But I see people chasing that all the time, and it'll be a running problem that has created a different differential in the vacuum in the intake, and it causes problems, and it sets that MAP code, you know, and they'll start chasing it for circuits and that kind of thing, but that won't even be the issue. But sound like we've talked our way through the first segment here, and we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Big wheels rolling, got to keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
Well, you've heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor Kevin Raymond along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But Charlie brought up a point while we were on our break there about some of these program vehicles that we got the Senior Bowl coming up this weekend, and we've got
and there's a need for cars.
And there's a need for cars for the Senior Bowl officials and that. And we do have some vehicles out there, and they're going to be available here shortly. So, you know,
are they used just once in a program, or maybe two or three different events?
No, it's going to be for their Senior Bowl cars. That's all they're used for. We don't put them out a lot for this. I mean, we have some demos and that kind of stuff that are program type vehicles, and then we have our Senior Bowl vehicles out.
Well, these are pretty low mileage cars. But
I mean,
somebody buys a program car. I think I owned one once, and we got a great deal on the price.
Yeah, and they'll all be under 2,000-4,000 miles. You know, so it they don't get them real long, and they don't keep them. So you know, the mileage will be low, and it'll be a brand new vehicle. You know, sold as a brand new vehicle. So have the full manufacturer's warranty on it. So. Be a great deal.
Looking, should they ask the salesman, do you have any program cars to show me?
Certainly wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt. Yeah. I guarantee they not only do we have those, we also have a lot of the 18 models still that we have actually stocked up on to be able to pass along the really outstanding incentives that they have for the 18 models. You know, the manufacturers help you move them there at the end of the year, and once they start getting a little age on them, so they put some really good incentives on them, and it's kind of hard to beat the deal. You know, I've had several people I know have bought here at the end of the year and first of the year, and you know, they've tried to compare with some of the 19 stuff, and it's just you can't compete with 18 right now.
That's right. Well, there's some rumors going around that a lot of the Senior Bowl officials like to come back because of all the fine rides available in Mobile.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, they get treated well in Mobile, you know.
Well,
Mobile
and
stepping up.
And I'll tell you what, unless you're really into the Senior Bowl, I think a lot of people really don't realize that, you know, all the coaches and the scouts are in town because this is the last time for those college seniors to show their stuff.
It is. The Senior Bowl has been a really big deal for the city of Mobile for many years. I don't know what annual Senior Bowl it is, but they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
It's been around, been a great program. You get to see the guys that have put their time in the college arena there come play here in Mobile.
I can remember coming back to the Senior Bowls even in the early 60s when I was in Pensacola, you know, and bringing I was in management for a truck line over there, and we'd bring our guests back over and our customers, you know, and have a big old time at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
I know my first one was either 61 or 62. And I remember being awed by the stadium. I was living in Pensacola 50, at the time, too.
Yeah. You're talking about 58
72, 82, 92, 02, 12, 50,
like,
7
like,
years
we're
ago.
Close to, what, 60-something years or
we're,
better?
We're pushing 60
I know there's
years.
Somebody out there that's listening and also got car problems, but there's somebody out there that knows exactly what year. Now, I could look it up on my phone, but I'm too lazy.
But there's a thing that I wanted to make, the most impressive. First of all, I was impressed by Ladd People's Stadium.
Right.
Wasn't called People's at the time.
Yeah.
This is the car show. Hang on just a second. But what I was impressed was, because it was in the early days of color TV, that all the seats were painted like pink and yellow and pastel greens.
What?
To show up on color television. This is the car show. Go ahead. You're on the radio.
had a 2008 Silverado, and the oil sending, not oil sending unit, but my oil pressure unit has gone out on the vehicle.
Right.
And it's the only part of the cluster that's out. And I'm just wondering if there's any way to fix it, since it's just one item. Everything else is working, the tachometer, speedometer.
Right.
You know,
right.
Gasoline, everything else is working.
Yeah. When you say it's out, does it move at all, or does it just stay on zero?
It doesn't move at all. There's no engine light that's come on or anything like that.
Right.
It's gone.
Right. You know, a lot of times when the gauge quits working in the cluster itself, it will move, but it's nowhere near accurate. It may be straight up and down. It may be straight down, you know. It's in an obvious spot where it's not supposed to be, which leads to the stepper motor and the cluster being bad. Now, the clusters can be repaired. It used to be the gauge doctor here in town, but he has moved on. There are some places around, and I've actually seen some ads on like Craigslist and that for some people doing it here in town.
Right.
So it is something that can be repaired. You know, the only way we have to do it is pull the cluster and send it and have it repaired. But there are some ways to do it, you know, a little more economically.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
But,
bye.
Love it when our callers bring us back to why we're here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they're you know, that's a fairly common failure on that particular vehicle. More so on the 2, 3, 4, 5 maybe. But they do have that issue.
Can you get a used cluster?
Like
we used to get that, but what's our problem with that now?
Well, the problem with that is the mileage is stored in the cluster,
mm-hmm.
as well as some other modules. So, you know, when you put it in there, you got to program it. And even if you change the programming in the cluster to belong in that vehicle, because the VIN number has to match, you know, the ID information has to match, or it sets up problems. It won't change the mileage because you get one shot at changing the mileage. You know, if you send the cluster off and get it repaired, it'll come back to you. And if you give them the mileage, they'll put it in. If not, we have to put the mileage in, and you get one shot at it. Yeah, you can't go back and change it again. Yeah, and it better be what it's supposed to be.
Okay.
So yeah, there's no playing around with that. That's one of those. It's one of those things they check.
In the old days of putting less miles on a vehicle is gone. Right?
Nope, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. You know, because the only way you can do less miles is you can put a 0 mile odometer in there, but you got to put documentation attached to the vehicle and. On the paperwork stating that this is an altered mileage vehicle, cluster is replaced at such and such miles.
Well, y'all just
it started over here.
Y'all messing up, you know, guys playing around and doing things, man.
We're just saving people the trouble of having to go to jail. So,
I had a dear friend
that
went to junior college for about 10 years, I think, those things.
I don't know if I'd call him a dear friend, but I do know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, you know the fella too, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he'll be a friend because he was still a friend when he got out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is
true.
I
knew his daddy too.
Yeah, yeah.
And his brother-in-laws and all these other people in the family. But anyway.
But, yeah, that's, I mean, I, you know.
That was in the days when there was a lot of shystering going on with cars.
There was.
And you know what? I am certainly glad to see that all that tinkering and all of that bogus stuff that people used to do and, you know, and get all that stuff changed, where now, you know, we don't have to worry about that. If it says 160,000 miles, it's got 160 on it.
Yeah. You know, and you can't go in there and mechanically roll back an odometer like you used to could.
No.
You know, there's a whole bunch of things that will stop you from doing that, and you'll usually end up with instead of a mileage across there, it'll say error.
Uh-oh.
You know, so it won't even give you a mileage anymore. So it's better off just leave it alone.
Yeah, there you go.
Quit trying to play that game. there's they have done a lot to help with the tampering on these vehicles.
That's awesome. I'm so glad. Yeah. Charlie, how much time we got?
And we got a couple. But what's the biggest number that an odometer can show now, since cars go 300,000-400,000 miles?
Well, it'll go up to 900,000. I mean, it at 999.
One shy of a million miles.
One shy of a million miles.
All right.
So by then, the speedometer probably has fallen out of the dash in a junkyard somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wanted to bring up something while we don't have anybody calling in about these cars and all. And we've lost another local police officer here, and we hadn't really got over losing our other guy here about 11 months ago,
right?
And there's about six or eight of them. It's just unbelievable that all that's happening, and I think they're going to have to put some serious penalties on these guys when they start shooting these police officers with these stolen weapons and all, and the dude getting 10 years or 20 years or whatever, and then getting out on eight, with good behavior, that's a bunch of bull.
Right.
So, but then I'm going to delve off into another area. All right, we got about a minute, Charlie says.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a funeral tomorrow, and for all of you vets out there that's not doesn't have anything to do, at Serenity Funeral Home, tomorrow afternoon, there's a graveside ceremony at 12 noon. Now, Post 250 Honor Guard has been requested for a military funeral ceremony there. And the problem is this vet died at Green Veterans Home up in Bay Minette area. Mm-hmm. He has, to our best of our knowledge, has no relatives whatsoever. And the only thing that I'm asking is, guys, this guy fought for our country. He is an Army vet. His name was William P. Jackson, Army vet. The funeral home is Serenity. The ceremony is at Serenity Funeral Home there. And the vet may have been homeless. We and perhaps the Patriot Guard are likely to be the only ones there. Get off your butts, if you will, and go out and participate. If you're a member of a VFW club or American Legion, Post, Marine Corps League, anything else, and you got a cover, wear it. If you don't, wear whatever branch of service cover you were in, and let's go out and support this vet. God bless all of you, and we appreciate you going out and doing this tomorrow.
Yep.
Didn't want to have to talk about that, but I needed to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. Y'all were burning up the text messages last week, and I hadn't got one yet.
Everybody turned the darn computer off.
Yeah.
I think saving everybody's worn out after watching the Saints football game.
Well, it could be that.
There's probably still kicking and growling and stomping her feet about.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them.
I don't like that lack or no call either.
Right.
Mm. Especially when there's that much on the line.
Well, exactly. I can't say that the Saints would have won the game. I just think that they would have been better off, than in a better position to have won the game if that play had been called.
But you see, they and I heard it on Dalton's sports show a while ago that they can't play the game over again.
No.
But there should be some mechanism where everybody can stop and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys missed this call, and everybody in the place saw it, you know.
Yeah.
And let's fix it right
well,
now.
Well, they're reviewing a lot of the other stuff, you know. Yeah. Why not review that?
I thought they rolled tape on every single play.
Well, you would think they would. And, you know, if it's a play that really matters, you know, as far as, you know, a major turning point in the game, they need to look at it.
Especially in the playoffs, determining who's going to the Super Bowl.
And, you know, you don't want it to be over-officialized to where, you know, you can't touch a guy. I mean, we're not playing touch football here, you know. But
can I put a word in for Drew Brees? We were over there. I was over there with my buddy Scott Harrison, and we were up in the press box covering Saints games.
Right.
And I got to go down in the locker room and with my cell phone capture two or three of the football players so they could do cell phone interviews with folks in New York on the big networks. And Drew Brees was in the media tent, and he was coming back, and there was a couple of Marines in uniform standing at different places along the pathway that he was taking. And one of them talked to him for just a moment, and he told him, sure. And so he gathered all of his buddies, and Drew Brees sat there, and I know they spent at least a good 5 to 10 minutes taking pictures of him and these guys in uniform.
Awesome.
And I thought that was a nice touch because he could have just as easily said, fellas, I'd love to, but I'm in a hurry.
If it hadn't been for those guys and the other vets, then he wouldn't be able to be playing football no damn way.
That's right. Yep. So he took the time to say thank you in a different
Amen.
Way.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Let's see. We do have a text message here from Dave from Gulf Shores.
Hello,
all
Dave.
Right. All right. They hadn't gone to sleep over there yet.
No, not yet. Okay. So, Kevin, do you know about blockchain and using it to verify and encrypt car computer firmware and software? I have not heard of blockchain, but there are programs that we use it in a GM dealer to verify the programming in the vehicles. Plus, we use a lot of our cars now are using a gateway module to keep people from being able to hack into the control systems of the car. They may be able to get in there and do some things, maybe, but the major functions of the vehicle they can't get in and touch.
Okay.
You know?
They can't hack that.
Yeah, they've got basically firewalls built, in the computer systems of the cars, to where without the proper software and proper connection to the car, you're not going to get in there and do anything to do it. But we do have programs to where we can get in and look at and see if the programming in the vehicle is what General Motors built it with.
All right. What is this gentleman talking about there?
Well, that's what we're talking about. As far as blockchain, I have not heard of that.
Send us another text and tell us what that is.
Yeah, is that the name of a software program? Maybe
that's what I'm have to assume. But there's other programs out there, and the manufacturers they keep it pretty much. They keep all that pretty tight to where you can't get in and do it without having some kind of marking in there to tell us that, hey, somebody's been messing around with the program
right
here.
But we're all kind of getting bogus scared about the technology that some of these hackers are getting. And, when they start getting into the sophisticated companies and Silicon Valley companies, computers and all, and then – I mean, hell, what will keep them from getting into my computer on my car?
Right.
And
it's possible. I've seen where they've been able to actually even start a car by hacking into it. There's ways they can do that, but as far as being able to put it in gear or affect the brakes or affect the steering of the car, they have not been able to do that, And, if the worst thing they can do is crank your car up, they warmed it up for you.
Can they rev it up?
No, I don't think so.
So you're saying that they probably can't do anything to seriously damage your vehicle?
They can't really do anything to damage the vehicle, and they can't get in there and actually take your vehicle. Because you can't. It's no different than starting your car with a remote start.
All right. You opened up a big can of worms here now. we're seeing all of this stuff come out about you have to be careful when you go and to click the, your key to open the car doors and crank your vehicle, because if they have a scanner that's close to you, they can read that, and then they can do that and get your car started and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, is that, are we in left field or not?
You know, anything is possible. I mean, if somebody really wanted to take your car, they're going to take your car.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah, they ain't, you're not going to
stop. But if I can stop them, I'm going to do that. Right. The other thing I was going to bring up is they're talking about taking your key fob and laying it inside of at the house, inside of a piece of aluminum foil, so that the scanner in that neighborhood can't drive down the street and pick up your signals off of your fob. Is that a bunch of garbage or what?
Well, first off, your
fob. And fob's also, this gentleman sent you something back.
Yeah, he sent a link here about where you can go to read up on some of this. But, you know, first off, your key fob's not going to send out a signal until you need it to do something.
Until you touch it or whatever.
Until you're
whatever.
Touching it or okay. whatever. As long as you're not sitting there in your, you know, recliner all night playing with the buttons on the key fob.
That being said, now can't if you got your key fob in your pocket and you walk up to the car, won't it turn your car on without you?
It won't turn your car on.
It will open the doors.
You still have to push a button to unlock the door. Usually the door handle has a button you push on it. And once you get in, you still have to push a button to crank the car. Now there is a remote start sequence you can do on your key fob, which is a little, you know, you're basically locking it and then hitting the remote start, which is sending out two different signals. So yeah, they've got to copy it, they've got to be able to copy that information as well. So it makes it a little more difficult to.
Well, I haven't heard of anybody actually having their car stolen with any of that technology. But we keep seeing so much of it in written articles and on some of the programs and things that we see on the internet, as well as some of the things that we're receiving on our cell phones and all on our laptops.
Right. Well, you know, and also you got to remember, you know, most all new cars are built with an OnStar system on them, on the GM stuff, that can actually track the car, as well as OnStar can call in and shut the car down or limit the speed and keep it from cranking the next time if you shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
So it's they've got things in place.
They're sophisticated. I mean,
trust me, they got smart guys, way smarter than me working on this.
Well, you know, some of the thieves are not too dang smart anyway. I seem like I recall when you were working with BMW that they broke in there and stole, what, 6 or 7 cars?
Uh-huh.
And yeah, but they got the keys on that deal, didn't they?
They did.
They got the keys and all. It got the cars out of the building and all took them. And so they were, the management and all was going crazy. And then, you know, one of you guys said, well, just hold on a minute. Let's get the VIN numbers on the cars. And then you call somebody.
Let's call their, and I'm drawing a blank on what their system is called, but it's similar to OnStar.
But you call their system.
You call in and say, hey, do y'all have a location on these cars? And you have to do it through the police. You know,
right.
They're not going to give the owners the location of the vehicle, so you go over there and get in a confrontation and have a problem. But, you know, it's
– they were all sitting –
they were all sitting over there by Murphy High School.
And, in one yard.
And
so
ours weren't
the
only
one made
sitting
a lot
there.
Of trips?
Y'all's wasn't the only one sitting
ours
there?
Ours wasn't the only one sitting there. They had stole several, and they just hadn't moved them out of there yet.
Holy cow, yeah.
So if you do it fast enough, you can catch them.
The other night –
there are some dumb thieves, aren't
they? Oh, yeah.
The other night I was watching a movie, and there was some guys stealing cars, and the kid jumps in the car, and he reaches under the dash and hotwires it. That's kind of going
that's old
out of
school.
Business.
Yeah,
with his
you
push
won't do
button.
No, that's old school. He's not going to do that now.
Yeah, I've seen
you can't
some
even
of those
get
movies.
To,
yeah, no, yeah. That ain't going to work now.
Yeah, so if they're going to do it, it better be old cars.
Well, you know, and I'll be sitting there watching TV with my wife, and she hates it when I do this, and it's just
occupational, you know, hazard.
And I'll watch it, and someone will jerk 2 wires from under the dash and tie them together and short them across something and think it's going to crank. And they'll show them driving off, and it's like, BS.
That's what I was going to say. That's BS.
Even if they could drive off, they can't turn the steering wheel.
Right.
Yeah, my wife says, well,
how do you know?
Yeah. Like, you know that? I said, that's BS. That ain't going to work.
It ain't going to happen.
She said, why didn't the people that wrote that show check with you before they did it? I said, there's more people than me. No, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people out there that know that ain't going to work.
Working all these years in radio, I remember when Play Misty For Me came out, and there was a nighttime DJ, and he's on the air talking, and they take a shot over his shoulder, and the meters are not moving.
Right.
You know, and that just ruined the whole movie for me because I knew that couldn't happen.
No, you knew damn good well that wasn't a real shot.
You see these meters here, they're moving. So
they're moving. When that voice comes over there, that little dial's going to go crazy.
That's right. So you have to be – that's why they have technical advisors for the movies. Some of them don't do too good a job.
Yep. They still overlook some stuff.
Well, this is my favorite bump.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take a break and let you hear our little bump music here, and then we'll take a break and be back.
Snowman, how are your vocal cords?
Well, my vocal cords are fine. I'm a little worried about Fred now. He's been gnawing everything in the cab of this truck, barking and screaming. I think he's turned into a stalk of bananas. Come back.
What's your 20?
About 16 miles this side of Mississippi.
Whoa, hold it.
I just passed another Kojak with a Kodak. This place crawling with bass. Where the hell are you? Come back.
I'm still trying to get rid of that Texas County Mountie. I don't know what the hell he wants.
You know what he wants. I mean, how would you like to be the dude that handcuffs a legend?
Listen, give me 5 minutes. We're going to put some moves on that mother. I'll meet you at Old Miss.
Well, you better hurry or we can just kiss that money goodbye. You understand that?
I'll read you loud and clear. 10-4.
You got the one snowman. I'm eastbound and down.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or you can send us a text at same number. Let's see, we got just a follow-up here from for Dave from Gulf Shores about the blockchain. Go here. It's 9 ways the blockchain will change the car industry. And because it's a little over what we can cover here on the show tonight. It gets a little deeper into stuff that I don't know a whole lot about. But if you're interested, go on the internet and look around and see what you find on that. But
and it's called blockchain?
Yeah, blockchain. So we have another text message. James from Florida, does rodent tape work under the hood of a car? You know, it can. I've not found a really good way to keep rodents from under the hood of a car. You know, there's just I've seen everything in the world tried. Some things slow them down. You know, if you have something that'll stick them, you know, basically the little traps that'll capture them, you know, it's all well and good, but you better check them once in a while and make sure you don't have one that's gonna die under your hood of your car, because you'll know here shortly if you do.
We used to have a problem with kittens in the wintertime looking for a warm place in the middle of the night.
Well, and a lot of vehicles nowadays have Yeah, and they're doing it for sound deadening because we have direct injectors that are building high pressure and make noise. They put a insulated cover over the top of that, and there's a little bit of space there between so the little airflow can get through there to help cool. Well, that's a that is a nice and warm spot for critters to get in and look for a warm spot in the engine compartment. But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Go ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, okay. Hey, I've got a Ford. It's a 2008 Ford F-150 FX4.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm thinking about getting some aftermarket headlights.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking HID or LED.
Yeah.
So what's your suggestion?
I'm not a big fan of the HID lights. I have not seen many of the aftermarket upgraded lights that last any time period.
Really?
Yeah, they look good and they work well for a little while and then they fail and then you're right back in. The only way to fix it is you got to buy the whole system again. And I've just not been real impressed with them at this point. A good high quality replacement bulb seems to do well, and as long as the lens is good and clear and clean, it should light up just fine. It shouldn't be a big problem.
The reason I'm thinking about changing them out is because they're getting that yellow tint.
Right.
And it just seems to me like, I would see better.
Yeah. Well, the lenses, when they start, yellowing like that, there's systems that can help restore that, or you can just, you can go online. There's places that you can pick up the headlight assemblies for the standard type headlights for a very reasonable price, and you can just replace the whole assemblies with stock replacements, I did it on my 03 Dodge, before I gave it to my son. They worked well, nice and bright. It was just like putting a whole new set of whole new system on the front of the vehicle. It was like, wow, there's stuff out here in front of me at night. It was a major difference, but it was just stock replacement stuff. And you lose that lighting ability so gradual over time that you don't realize how much you have lost because of the lens on the headlight.
Right.
Not to mention even the backing reflector in the light itself will start to fade and, doesn't reflect the light as well. So my recommendation would be to replace the lights with a stock replacement type light.
Okay. And this may not be a question that you could answer,
mm-hmm.
but I'm wondering if I've got a step size. I'm a real big fan of step side trucks.
Right.
But I'm wondering if the Raptor came with a LED, if Ford actually sells LED lights that go in their trucks or.
It's possible. I do not have that answer for you, but the problem you get into is not just the fact that, the headlight's different. Is probably going to have a different control system for that headlight. I don't know that it would be a direct plug-in, even if you did have a Ford part to plug into it. There's a lot of different controls and computers that run. We've gotten to the point to where we've got computers and modules and all that in our headlight systems now, so... you got to be careful with that stuff, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that has that information, but I'd be guessing.
Well, I can talk to my Ford parts guy and ask him.
Yeah, and he could probably give you a good idea if it would be a direct replacement. Yeah, he could probably tell you that. Okay?
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all.
All right. I appreciate you listening.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
All right. And we've got a text message here from Rapid Ray. He's got a 99 GMC Safari van. I see moisture on the windshield where the VIN number is, and he's wondering if it's a heat or core leak. My guess is probably not. With all the rain that we've had and the temperature changes we've had, there's probably a little moisture somewhere in the van that, and even if you don't have, just the temperature change will let a little bit of moisture build up inside the vehicle. And whenever you go out there to it, you'll see that little bit of moisture droplets on the inside of the windshield. I've seen it on our car lot from brand new vehicles that I know do not have a leak. I've seen that little bit of hazing around the corners, you know, from time to time, just from the constant temperature change that we get here, you know, on the coast, you know, yep, along with the humidity levels that we have around here. So I would doubt that if that's the case that you've got a heater core leak.
There you go. But, all right.
Let's see. We got another one here. I read or heard somewhere that some manufacturers are using soy-based wire insulation. You know, I have not heard that. You know, and it's a they make some wild stuff with soy.
Oh yeah.
So I don't. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it, but I
don't know whether that would be a varmint proof wire or not.
Probably not. I mean, that would almost sound like it would attract them. But most all ours are, they have like a rubber, coating around the wires that keep everything sealed up and tight. I wouldn't imagine that they would be soy based.
Yep. All right. Don't forget, guys, the funeral tomorrow at Serenity Funeral Homes for our veteran without any relatives or anything. So if some of you guys are not busy, we need to show up out there at noon. Serenity Gardens Funeral Home. Army vets, fly your colors. It's not a dress-up deal. You don't have to get all dressed up. Just, yep, casual dress. Fly your colors, guys.
Absolutely. And sounds like we've come to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to keep the family of Officer Tudor in our minds and hearts this week and from here on. But I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back next week.
Hoorah.
Those spark plug wires are a little too long, and your main frog spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all. Your torque converter's running low on torque.
Jillene, did you borrow the noodle nose pliers?
Does Reinhold know you're out here going through his tools?
He won't mind. I'm getting ready to unfit.